Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
By faith. By faith. I mean, think about this. What moves God? What moves God? Does sickness move God? I've seen lots of sickness, and if you travel the world, you're going to see just generations of sickness. And that exists in the context of what's going on. The question is, does it move God? And does poverty move God? Does this need for stuff and food and finance, and does that move God? And or does trouble move God? Let me tell you what moves God. Faith moves God. Not some formula. A trust in who He is, and that He talks about in Matthew chapter 6. He says, listen, I mean, if the birds of the air are taken care of, if the grass of the field is dressed with all of its splendor,
that's right.
Aren't you much more valuable than that? Just seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be. Listen, it's faith knowing that He's going to take care of you. It's faith knowing that when we walk in obedience to what He says, He's going to do what He says He's going to do. It's that confidence. He tells us in Hebrews 11, He says, now, faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you do not see. It's surety and it's certainty. And He says, this is what the ancients were commended for. They weren't commended because they lived in a certain village. They weren't commended because they were a Jew. They weren't commended because of this or because of that. They were commended because they were men and women of faith. It's important to bring clarity to your life, to your purpose, and what you are believing God for. How in the world can you be confident and sure in what you don't even know and can't even explain?
That's right.
You can't have faith in what you can't even see in your heart, that you can't even tell me about. And it's like, they're just, well, you know, just hoping in my need, in my sickness, in my poverty, in my whatever, that just God, because He's good. Mm-hmm. You're right. He is good. But that's not going to move Him. What moves Him is your faith and confidence in knowing that He would. Because how can we be sure and certain of what we don't even know, understand, or can't even picture in our own hearts? You know, Habakkuk 2:2-3 tells us, listen, write it down, make it plain, make it clear so other people can understand. Though it linger, wait for it, it will certainly come to pass. Write of it and the end as if it already was. And you'll see what you've believed already was come to pass. It's important to seek God, abide with Him, study His expectations of you, understanding in James 4:3, we're told, you do not have because you do not ask God. And when you do ask, you do not receive because you ask God with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your own pleasures. He's letting us know, listen, it doesn't matter just having a vision for your life or having an understanding of what you're believing God for and what you're moving in faith for. It needs to line up with the Word of God.
Hello, yeah.
It needs to line up with God's expectations are. Many don't ask because they're never taking time to get clarity of what to ask for. You know, people talk about the problem. Oh, the problem. Did I tell you about the problem? Oh, the problem, the problem, the problem. Did I tell you about the problem? Have I told you about the problem? The problem. You know, it's like, wow, that problem's going to be around for a while.
Exactly.
Just magnifying.
So you're locking your faith into it. If any two agree, the worst thing you can do is find somebody to agree with your problem, right?
Oh, yeah, you got a big problem there.
Yeah. And in the context of that you've got to get clarity. So you'll ask God for what you know you need to ask Him for. If you got clarity, if you're believing God for a house, for example, you're going to ask Him for to take you to places that encounter a particular piece of property. You know, right. I mean, there's something you're going to be praying specific. God, show us a house. But if you don't know you want a house yet, you just know you want a place to stay, but you're not even talking about it. It's like whatever, whatever, whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's sickness, your pain, your sickness, what you're struggling with, poverty, whatever. It doesn't move God. What moves God is faith. Many, and also what the reason why people begin to move on what I'm talking about, and they apply these principles of the kingdom, and it doesn't happen because they ask with the wrong motives. Though it seems religious, it has nothing to do with the kingdom of all. It has to do with their kingdom, and they're talking about, and you think, well, they did everything. I don't know what it is, and God knows their heart, right?
God, mm-hmm. As God doesn't know, right?
Yeah, God already knows their heart and knows what's going on. I think about it in Acts chapter 8, verse 9 through 27, about Simon the sorcerer. Mm. You know, Simon's watching. Here he is. He's like the local soothsayer in the community who does his magic in his local, you know, palm reading shop,
right,
you know, up the street, and he's amazed a lot of people with mm-hmm. his trickeries and all that he can do. But then he sees men of God come into town, and they begin to minister, and people are getting saved, and they call for the apostles to come, and they lay hands on these folks. And when they lay hands on them, the power of God hits them, and they receive the power of the Holy Spirit, and the power of God, the dunamis power of God, comes on these guys. And so Simon goes, oh my goodness, I want that. Mm-hmm. I want, this is his vision. His vision was he wanted to have what they had.
Mm-hmm.
And he was even willing to buy it. He was even to say, you know, how much does this thing cost? This, you know, lay hands on me so I can get, you know.
Wow.
And it's, I've seen God begin to move in a powerful way. And I've seen people just like Simon. And you can see just the dripping, drooling lust of like, I want that. And it's like, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yuck, nasty, dirty, not good. Why are you coming from? Why do you want power? Yesterday you were in adultery. Why do you want power? You know, and it's like, that's that whole Simon thing. They were wanting, it's about self.
Mm-hmm.
And be careful. Don't be go laying your hands on just anybody. You know, understand that that is for the kingdom of God. It's for believers, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so in the context of that he turns around and he says, listen, you be accursed. May God deal with you ever so severe. I can't believe you even thought about that with the wrong motives. Today, people don't say anything. They know plain as day that person's got the wrong motives. And they're thinking all these things about how they can actually be a superstar, you know, in the kingdom of God. And they want, you know, whatever. And or their workplace, they're wanting this business. Like, yeah, last time he gave you a business, you just used it all on yourself. You know, last time he gave you, it was all about you. And in the context of that, so then you're wondering, well, how come this thing ain't working? It's not working because you're not doing it with God.
That's right.
All right.
You're doing it as God.
Mm.
And that's not going to work. Even if it works well for Simon, it won't end up well for you. But I think about this. I think about Hebrews chapter 11, which is really the hall of faith, the hall of fame for those who walked in faith. He says, and it's by faith. Listen, you want to see God move? Get some confidence in God. Get in the Word of God. Begin to believe God for what He says in your life. Quit looking to everybody else and begin to believe God for what He said He's going to do and begin to walk it out. This is what he says in verse 3. He says, by faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. Well, you got, this is the beginning parts of faith, understanding that you got to understand when you look at everything and the stars and the universe and the Milky Way and the earth and the weathers and the seasons and even you yourself, that you understand God has created this and he's holding it all together and he's giving it life to exist. Therefore, since he's the creator, anything's possible with him. So there is no boundaries. There is no limitations. There is no, I can't believe that even happened. Where did that come from?
Mm.
And he says, and he goes on to say, so that we have to understand that, so that what is seen, understanding this, what is seen was not made out of what was visible, what is visible. So we understand that it doesn't matter what you're looking at. It doesn't matter what your condition is. It doesn't matter what sickness you're seeing. It doesn't matter what poverty situation. It doesn't matter what your nation is doing. It doesn't matter what somebody else is doing. You can look at something that does not yet exist in your vision, in your natural vision, but what you're seeing in your heart, what you're believing God for, you can speak it over that situation. It's going to begin because that's how things are made.
Mm.
Things in the universe were made by God, who is unseen, and he made it from things unseen, and he spoke it into existence, and he created us in his image and his likeness. Therefore, we're going to have to operate as he operates in the context of that under his lordship in our life. So this was all spoken into existence, which means what? You got to speak some things into existence. You're going to have to say something. Quit looking to everybody else to say what you should have been saying all along. And by the way, quit speaking death over everything God's doing. Just clam it up. Like your mama said a long time ago, if you can't say nothing good, don't say nothing at all.
Well,
in the kingdom would say, if you can't say nothing but doubt, shut it up. Because you are stopping. You are hampering the movement of the kingdom of God. I mean, think about it. Even Jesus said to Peter when Peter's mouth was set on fire by Satan, his tongue was, and he said, just don't go to Jerusalem right now. It's not really good. Got some stuff going on. He's like, you almost tempted me not to do the Father's will. And so you gotta understand it's important who you're letting speak in your life. And if you're near somebody's ear, you've been given a privilege. You've been given a privilege. And you need to honor that privilege and what you say and what you do in their eyes and what you do in their ear, that you don't want to hinder any of their faith. Because understand this, if you do that, you're hindering the kingdom of God. You're hindering the kingdom of God. But Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. He says, you have on your mind the things of man, not the things of God. And that's where this struggle comes in. What is your faith in God? Is your faith in what you're wanting for yourself? But he says, so we got to speak things into existence because God moves by faith. You got to begin to say something. You got to do the working of miracles. You got to do the working of ministry. You got to begin to speak things and begin to sow the gospel. And I think about what Jesus said in Mark 11, 22 through 24. He says, have faith in God. Mm. Have faith in God, this God who created everything that exists from what presently is not even seen. He says, I tell you the truth, Jesus says. If anyone, and who is anyone?
Anyone.
That's anyone. Mm-hmm. That's anyone, right? That includes you. If you're listening right now, that includes you. If anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes, has faith, that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Well, there's some components, and that's very, very important that you have to understand. First of all, you're included then, so you don't have to look to everybody else and go, well, I don't know, they just don't do something for me. It's like, do something for yourself, believe God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what he says, have faith in God. He says, I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, what is the mountain? I don't know, it could be a relationship mountain, it could be a financial mountain, it could be a ministry mountain, it could be a marriage mountain, it could be a child mountain, it could be a parent mountain, I don't know what it is. Go, throw yourself into the sea. Okay, you first speak that out. You have to speak that as it. You're not seeing in the natural, but you're speaking that as though it was, right? Habakkuk 2:2-3. Mm. And don't doubt it in your heart. Don't let the enemy sow doubt in your heart. Don't let him begin to say, and that's why you have to watch out, because you'll have people like Peter with their tongue being set on fire around you going, well, did you measure it? Is it going to really fit? And how's the second story? The second story, I'm believing God for the first story. Now you have the first story being crushed by the second story, and it's like, what is going on?
All right.
I'm hearing this. I want to hear this.
Yeah. Less of that.
Yeah, more of this. And so he says, go throw yourself into the sea and does not doubt in his heart. So doubt is something that goes inside of our heart. And we realize the heart speaks from the overflow of the mouth. So if you got doubt in your heart, guess what's going to come out? You may go 8 hours. You may go 2 days or 2 weeks. The next thing you know, it's going to just stir up, fill your heart up. And next thing it's going to come out. You're going to speak death over the blessing that you begin to believe God for. He says, do not have doubt in your heart, but believe that what you say will happen. What does that mean? Satan is going to use every captive individual to come your way to try to convince you that what you're believing God for will happen. This must not be God, because I've had several people say, don't go to Jerusalem.
Right.
No, that's people held captive to do Satan's will. This is your chance to be able to prove your faith to God.
Yes.
You're proving of your faith more precious than gold. And he says, if you'll do this, it'll be done for you. He says, therefore, Jesus says, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, remember it's prayer in accordance to his will, that you believe that you receive what you prayed for and it will be yours. So you have to see this thing. You have to get clarity what you're believing God for. We call that a vision. We call that direction for your life, a vision for your marriage and your family and for your ministry, for your business, for your place that you work at. I'm telling you what, if you just get a vision for your place that you're working at, your boss is going to go, listen, I always wanted a son like you. I always wanted a daughter like you. Come on in. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
It's not another Lego set or doll. No, what your child wants most from you this holiday season is your time and attention. This is John Fuller with Focus on the Family Minute, and financial expert Mary Hunt reminds us, it's not about the stuff.
I promise you, when your children reach their adult years, when they remember Christmas, They will not remember the gifts. They will not. They're going to remember whether mom was stressed out or that she was fun to be around. They're going to remember the time that you went and took the sled up the hill and sled together. If you're looking to make Christmas something your kids will remember, think past the gifts. Gifts are involved, but they are such a small, small part of it.
This season, be intentional about your time and money. Make some great memories with your children that they'll treasure forever. You'll find more ideas for your journey as a mom or a dad at focusonthefamily.com/parenting.
You know, John, I have been so encouraged listening to you and sharing your stories about Elijah and Isaiah and Maya and how you got to spend time with them at one of their baseball games, how encouraged they were with the fact that you were just simply there. Your presence, just being with them, encouraged them. Tell me about that.
Well, that's cool, man. I can understand what you're saying because I feel that way when I know that God is near me.
Yeah.
You know, when I have a relationship with him and I know that he's present, he's not far away.
Mm-hmm.
He's not too far that is, you know, he can't reach out to me, not too far that his eyes are not always on me. And maybe you are listening today and you wish that you had a father to be in your life, or you wish that somebody was there to watch you. I want to tell you that you're not alone. Many of us have experienced the same things in our lives, and we wanted to know more about God ourselves.
Yeah.
But it was a journey. We were all on a journey. Isn't that right, Steve?
Absolutely.
And that journey brought us to a point where, you know what? I want to meet the Father.
That's right.
I want to meet Father God. And so some of us have shared our stories. You know, a lot of it's not pretty, but what is? But what it truly is, it's real.
Mm.
And if you're looking for a story, a real life story that would help encourage you, I want to ask you to find out more at meetmyfather.org, where real people have gone through real things to find the real Father. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Let's pick up where we left off. And so we have to begin to just, we're asking for something, not because, oh, this is what you're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to ask for set you a God. I just need to be healed. Could you heal me? But you have no confidence in your heart that you're ever going to be healed. You mm-hmm. have no confidence in your heart you're ever going to be blessed. You have no confidence that it's ever going to temple. It's like, what are you just, you're just being religious.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're just being religious. And in Mark 11:25, the importance of not holding unforgiveness is talked about in there. And he says, listen, at that particular point, you need to go make things right with somebody because it can stop the power of God in your life. It can stop the manifestation of the glory of God in your life. Faith is so important because so many people can easily get offended, not understanding because the word of God is not being taught, that they're wanting God to do something, but they're not wanting to move in faith.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just do it. I'm being very religious here.
Right.
You know, I'm doing stuff and things. It's like, but you got to have faith in God. And so I want to, we're just talking about this, by faith, things happen. And you think about it that, so then faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you don't see. That's confidence. That your confidence has to be in God and God's goodness and his desire to reward you and to keep you and to protect you and clothe you better than the grass of the field. And the God who does make sure that not one bird falls from the sky without his permission to be able to do it. And so you look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 and 36. He says, so do not throw away your confidence. And that's your faith. Do not throw away your confidence, for mm-hmm. it will be richly rewarded. Think about it. So do not throw away your confidence because it will be richly rewarded. God rewards those who diligently seek him, those that are confident in his ability to do what you're believing him for. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised, which mm-hmm. requires perseverance. You got to mm-hmm. hold on. I mean, if you're going to have a baby, it's going to take 9 months.
Right.
You know, it's going to take 9 months. You can want that there sooner or whatever, but it's pretty much, you know, if it's a normal process of birth, it's going to take 9 months. And nobody's more anxious to have that baby than the mother at that ninth month, the last trimester, that's just like, get this thing out of me. I love it, but it needs to come out of me. But it's perseverance. When God begins to birth something in your life, you're believing God, there's going to be a price, the testing of your faith, which is more precious than gold. You're going to have to persevere. Enemy's going to attack your confidence. So, and he goes on to say, he says, we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. Which just nails, like, shrink back, folks, it's not going to be good.
Mm-mm.
It's about faith. So when somebody tells you it's about religion, you think, yeah, I'm just going to shrink back from this, and I'm just going to be religious. And it's like, does that mean you left God? Does that mean you walked away from God at that point?
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, today it's like, oh, yeah, you know, I don't want to be anywhere where I have to do anything. I just want to go somewhere where I sit. I just want to shrink back to the back chair, pew, coffee shop, wherever how you walk out your expression. And he says, listen, he says, we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved.
Saved.
Saved. So you're going to have to do battle. You're going to have to do battle over your confidence, your surety, and your certainty. He tells us no faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we don't see. It's so important to understand without faith, it's impossible to please God. And it's that pleasure when we trust God and we're believing God and we're speaking it out and everybody's looking at you going like, what do you mean, father of nations? You haven't even had a child with Sarah yet. But against all hope, in hope, Abraham believed and so became the very profession that he professed to everybody around him because God told him that you're going to be the father of many nations and the promise is going to happen. For years and years and years, everybody probably ridiculed him. Listen, if you're worried about the fear of man or the fear of God, you're never going to move in faith. And we need men and women who are going to stand up today that says, you know what? I don't care. Pretty much you're going to be used, Peter. I mean, that's what's going to happen. You're going to say stuff. I'm already adjusting myself now to respond to you going, get behind me, Satan. You got on your mind the things of America, not the things of God. And so when you think of it, so it's by faith. That's what moves God. So, hey, you want to move God? You want to move God? Quit bringing up your budget and start bringing up your heart to faith and trust him and your words and your conversation. Because he says right there in Hebrews 11:5, he starts saying, he says, by faith, Enoch, think about it. Enoch, by faith, was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. Listen, that was by faith. When you hear about Enoch, it was because he walked in faith. By faith, Abel offered up God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. Think about it. And by faith, he still speaks even though he's dead.
Mm.
What's going to happen when you pass?
Mm-hmm.
Are they even going to remember your name?
Mm. Right.
If you moved in faith, we're still talking about those folks today.
Right.
And he says in verse 6, it's impossible. And without faith, it's impossible to please God because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and he rewards those who earnestly seek him. That's why the enemy's working so hard to take the knowledge of God out of America and the Ten Commandments down and the crosses down because the empowerment that comes from you just knowing that he exists and he's awesome and all-powerful is something. But it's by faith. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen. I mean, I could so relate to Noah, right?
Oh, yeah.
Not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. But it was by faith. It wasn't because he watched some TV program.
Right.
It wasn't because, you know, he read some book somewhere, or he heard somebody. In his heart, he was sure and confident that what God had told him was going to come to pass. So he had to prepare. And a time that there never was a water, there wasn't rain prior to this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's building a boat in a place that isn't even have any water. And it's never even rained before.
A monstrosity at that.
Yes, right.
It's a huge thing, you know?
Right. And so understand this is how God operates. He's looking for somebody who will just believe him. Oh, the odds are coming against me. Well, that's a great, perfect time to move in faith, wouldn't you say it? Now you don't trust in that stuff. You trust in God. By faith, Noah, think about this. By faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith, just by obeying God against the odds, against everybody else. Everybody got destroyed but Noah and his family.
Wow.
By faith, Abraham was called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance. Later, I remind you, to receive his inheritance obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Listen, so many people say, listen, I'll follow God if you just tell me where. It's like, that's not faith, and he's not going to direct you. So where you end up, you have to leave there and eventually go to where he's called you to be. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, where, think about it, this is his land, but he's living in like a stranger in there. Somebody says, well, you said that this is all going to be your land, and now here you are living in a tent. You must have missed God. No, this is somebody that's the father of faith. Mm. He's believing God, living as a stranger in the land, who were heirs with him of the same promise, talking about his sons. For he was looking forward to a city with foundations whose architect and builder was God. Listen, it's being heavenly minded. It's not about this life. This life is a chance to be able to show and prove ourselves that we have faith in God, that God can do all things, and that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. What does this generation need? It needs men and women who just believe God. That's what Jesus said. He said, just believe God. Have faith in God. A. Allen used to always say, you don't have no problem. All you need is faith in God. Over and over again. God just did awesome things through his ministry. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past his age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise to him. The thing is, you have to believe God. Listen, ain't nobody, you're going to have to go through a time. People look at you like you're a stranger in a foreign land, but you're still understand what God has spoken to you. You got to hold on to that, because when he does it, when God does it, many people are going to come to the Lord because they know that was God, and you were believing God for it. And so from that one man and his body being as good as dead came the descendants as numerous as the stars of the sky and countless as the sands of the seas. We're talking about today Abraham that went to like 90 years old before he had his very first child, when God said he's going to have so many children that you can't even count them. And we're talking about him today, and people are even trying to claim him by foreign religions. Understand, he was so, this, his faith is being heard of even today. I mean, think about it. It's all by faith. It's by faith that Abraham did all this and he was tested. It's by faith that Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regards to their future. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of Israel from Egypt and gave instructions even about his bones. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you believe God, you're projecting, you know, when I'm looking over the banister of heaven, I want this to be taking place on the earth. Listen, I'm believing God. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for the 3 months that he had to be hidden after he was born, because they saw he was no ordinary child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. They didn't care what people were saying. This is what God said. And by faith, Moses did what he did in leading God's people out. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as being on dry ground. But when the Egyptians tried, why? Because they didn't have faith, right? So they weren't following God. They were trying to destroy the people of God. They were actually drowned, but it was by the faith of men who trusted God and just did what God said. Having faith in God, as God begins to speak something out and you begin to walk in the context of what he's saying, it's his instructions, it's his orders, it's his will, not yours. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And he is fulfilling what he wants to do on the earth through you. That's why you can trust that his plans are good. I mean, think about it. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around it for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, think about it, it was by faith that she did this, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient to God. But it was by faith.
Yeah.
A prostitute had faith. More faith than anybody in that whole city of Jericho. And on and on and on. He goes on to say in verse 32, and what more shall I say? He's talking about these awesome men and women of faith. He says, I do not have time to tell you about Gideon or Barak or Samson or Jonathan or David or Samuel or the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fiery flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign enemies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again by faith. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. This was done by faith. Mm. They endured the jeers and floggings, and still others were chained and put into prison. By faith, they survived it. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted and mistreated. The world was not even worthy of them. Why is this? Because they were pleasing God. They were operating in faith. They were trusting God through the processes that God had them go through to bring to pass his will. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith. For their faith.
Wow.
What moves God? Listen, this is what Jesus said. When the Son of Man comes back, will he even find faith on the earth? Quit looking to everybody else. If you call yourself a believer, that word is interchangeable with the word faith. And the thing is, do you have surety and certainty in the God that you profess to follow? It's time to step up. It's time to face all your fears and get out and begin to tell people about this God who sent his son Jesus into the world to save them, to forgive them, and to bring them into his family and to restore them and restore the year the locusts had devoured. It is time for us to rise up as a church and begin to move in faith. Not just one man, not just one woman, not just a few. All of us. The church needs to arise from its sleeper state, and there's hope for a world if the church would have faith in God.
Downtown Gracie Jiu-Jitsu. Go visit Tony Baker. Listen, doesn't matter if you're in good shape, bad shape, he'll get you in the right shape. All the training you can get for self-defense in Pensacola. Visit him today at Downtown Gracie Jiu-Jitsu. Glenn Parker at Allen Turner Hyundai. Buying a car can be an overwhelming thing. I encourage you to visit Glenn Parker at Allen Turner Hyundai, where Glenn makes buying a car smooth and easy. Visit him today in Car City. You'll be glad you did. Just Fishing Grits. If you're in the mood for some good southern cooking, visit Just Fishing Grits today to dine in or to take out. You can have your meal on the go. It is good. You Scrub a Pup in Mary Esther, right across from the Santa Rosa Mall, where we offer three levels of service for all of your dog washing needs. Shampoos, after bath doggy colognes, lots of treats and belly rubs, and so much more. Bring your dog in today. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
If you're a believer today and you're saying, you know, I hear you, I've accepted the Lord in my heart, but there's something in my heart. I want to do something for God. You know what? Maybe VFNU is for you. It's time to be prepared. It's time. Listen, we're believing for a third great awakening. We're believing for the glory of God. We need God more than ever in our nation. Right. We need God more than ever in the church. And let me tell you, if you're tired of sitting, you know, you want to get in the game. Mm. You know, say you're tired of sitting. You want to get in the game. You want to do something for God.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you, I invite you, VFNU. VFNU, Vine Fellowship Network University.org, and explore the opportunity of being on the front lines. Listen, it's not as hard as what religions made it out to be. We're all called to the ministry of reconciliation, right? Reconciling the world to God. Mm-hmm. But you know what? We need to be trained up and taught. Right. And it's not just a university. VFNU is not just a university where you just get filled with all types of, you know, theological reference. Listen, this is just anointed God. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's just anointed God preparing you with anointed teachings as well as practical wisdom and all focused on the original intent of the church and Jesus Christ.
That's right.
He's enough.
That's right.
Listen, God has a destiny and a purpose for your life. Discover it. Ask him. He'll reveal it to you and show you what he has in store for you.
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
Mm-hmm. I was wondering because, you know, I started to hear some growling. I wasn't sure if that was coming from
growling.
You know, okay, you know, growling, but you know, it's, you know, lunchtime. But I was wondering, you know, have you heard of Abby Womack?
Wombach?
Abby Womack.
Wombach. The soccer player?
Oh, my. Look, see? And
hey,
I doubt
I watched the Olympics.
Unbelievable. Look at you.
Yeah.
I mean, Chris, I don't know how he does it. Perfect hair.
I don't either.
Limousine.
You ask me anything else, he'll shut down.
I mean, and he's filled with all of this just knowledge, this...
I thought you told me.
Listen,
didn't you tell me that?
We are honored to know you. I just want you to know that.
All right, right. Okay. So, Abby Womack.
Am I saying her name right? Womack?
You are now, yeah.
All right, Womack. Well, I don't know if you guys have this down, you know, here in Jersey. Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard of Chipotle?
Chipotle sauce?
No. Chipotle, the chain. Chipotle. Have you heard of them?
No, just the sauce.
Oh my goodness! See, this is what happens. You got to venture out now. You got to venture out. In fact, Don had some of this stuff here. Okay, you know.
Okay.
This Chipotle. She. This is Abby here. Mm-hmm. I'm a little envious. I want to make a little confession right now. I just want to just go ahead and just put it out there and just, you know, maybe I can get healed of this right now. You know, I'm just but.
Yeah.
She just won a gold card from Chipotle, okay, for one free burrito every day for her lifetime.
Every day?
Free burrito. Unlimited.
Oh my goodness.
It's calculated to be worth, over the 40 years, $100,000.
Wow.
Let me tell you something. If you have never... ever been to Chipotle? Mm-hmm. Now you think about, I mean, how could you redo like Mexican yet again, right? It's like,
yeah, right.
There's the Mexican chain everywhere you go.
Mm-hmm.
It's, let me describe it to you this way, okay? Because you've got to have it.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't Taco Bell. No offense here. It's not Taco Bell. And it's not like sitting in a Mexican restaurant,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of fast food, but it's like good quality fast food.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you, and it's simple. You're either going to get this bowl or you're going to get like this, I can't even call it a burrito, more like a bullet, like a major, like.
It's a log.
A log, exactly.
Yeah, it sounds like Moe's. We got something similar to that.
Yeah, but I've eaten it. This is not no Moe's. This is not no Moe's.
So let's
not get this twisted here. Let's not be confused. Let's set the record
straight.
Think
about the size, not necessarily the taste.
All right.
They big burritos.
This is huge.
Yeah.
I mean, put it this way. Once you take one bite, you can't put it down or it's going to fall apart. You're committed. Okay?
Oh, wow.
You're committed.
You're all in, right?
You're all in once you take that first bite. You're not putting it down. You better have a Coke in your other hand or you're in trouble. But it's all this fresh stuff. I mean, they have this lime rice that's amazing.
Lime.
They have steak or chicken. I mean, with cilantro in it. I mean, it's lime rice with cilantro. I mean, it is so good, but it's all organic. It's all fresh.
Mm-hmm.
The vegetables are just amazing. And when you're eating it, you can taste like every ingredient. Oh,
wow.
My goodness. It is delicious.
Oh, wow.
But if you haven't, I'm telling you, if you drive out of town and you see Chipotle, just go ahead and just turn
it. Did you take Greg there?
I did not take him there.
Well, that's Mexican food. So he probably wouldn't have wanted it.
Yeah. I'm going to have to take him. I'm going to have to take him next time. We ate all over New Jersey, New York last time. He's so true. You know, eating food up here is like going, you know, when you go to the, festivals or the fair.
Yeah.
And your nose is like, oh my goodness, and you're smelling.
Oh, yeah, everything smells good.
That's what it's like here, dude. I mean, you're driving everywhere to, you know, it's like, oh my goodness, where is that coming from? Fasting here, oh my goodness, that is a whole new experience, I gotta tell you.
Yeah, that'd be torment, especially walking the streets. Oh my goodness.
Every smell, I mean, it's just so good. It's like going to the fair, man. It's like nonstop.
Wow.
It's like, I wasn't hungry, but that sure smells good. But anyway, Chipotle, you gotta go, gotta have one, you know, delicious. And Amy, or Abby rather, if you're listening, talk to me.
Here's my number.
We can be friends.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
It's just amazing what's taking place. But listen to this, the author of The Game Plan.
Yeah.
The Game Plan, which is Kevin Freeman. Kevin Freeman talking about, well, this is what we're believing for, is a third great awakening. A third great awakening in America. But this is the key to it. Listen up.
If we lose everything, it's okay as long as we know who's in charge and that we have each other.
That's right.
And that we know what's important. There's no doubt. Is there any doubt in your mind? If we know that, we win.
We not only win, but if we cry out to God, we repent of our hedonism and everything else, and we invite the Holy Spirit to come and move through this earth, we won't only win, we will overcome and be extraordinarily victorious. There'll be a massive revival. It would change the nature and the face of the world.
Good morning.
Good morning. it's like a college, you know, radio program, right? It's like, hey, you know, today's program is going to be. Now this is the most exciting dude around. Right?
I know what happened.
He gets up in the morning and he looks at his toothpaste and goes, "I'm so excited!" And then he rubs his hands together and he comes on the radio. And is like, "Good morning, good morning." Well, I just want to say
No comment. We'll just leave it there.
And no comment.
And he still won't say
anything. I was like, I don't know. Come back to us.
Come back, Sanguine.
Sanguine. It's what it is because the personality conference hasn't happened yet. Once he teaches it, then he can watch
then
it.
Then he wakes up.
Yeah, we're just waiting for him. We're figuring, you know, by the time we're like 1,000 years in heaven, you know, and it's like, we know already we're in heaven. We have the mind of Christ. And I was like, we got it. You're a Sanguine. Right. Do you remember the day that you found out you were a Sanguine? Do you remember that?
Yes.
You were in such deep denial that life was over your head. Yeah. But it doesn't really.
Remember? Mm-hmm. I thought I was melancholy.
Right. And only a Sanguine could convince himself of
yeah,
that.
Yeah, right. Only a Sanguine.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
We ended up our last, before commercial break, we're talking about offense, yeah, and how we need to guard ourselves from right. that.
Very good.
And it's so important because it's a strategy from the enemy, and yeah, we're not ignorant of his devices. Mm-hmm. So now that we're aware that his whole plan is to isolate us, mm-hmm, and to from those that we're supposed to have relationship with, mm-hmm, and to bring us into sort of deception, because that's who he is. He's the father of lies. So
that's right.
I mean, pretty powerful stuff.
It's very good. It's very good. You know, it really reminds me when I was reading the scripture this morning.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it's probably one of the very first ones I ever memorized. And it's in Romans 12:1-2.
Oh, okay.
And which reminded me, especially when you were talking about the spirit of offense, it just took me way back. You know, you guys remember being in a small men's group?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
I mean, those were some good days.
Yes. Those were very good days.
I mean, it was that changed my life, literally. I mean, I remember. Wow. When I first came into a small men's group, you know, it was Greg and Gary Hinkey. You remember him?
Right. Yeah.
And
oh, yeah.
Fred Englund and Vince Cooper. And, you know, I was fresh out of the world when I first came to that group. I mean, fresh. And these guys have been meeting for a while already.
Yeah, those are good men, too. Those are good guys.
Oh, yeah. I've really looked up to those guys. Awesome, godly men. Still do.
Yeah.
And, and I just remember, man, the love, and it was just so, I don't know how to explain it. It was just totally new experience for me.
Now, what was that, though? I mean, tell us more about it. You were in a small men's group, but what'd you do there? Did you guys fish?
Oh, man, you know, you remember Promise Keepers, you know, and when I first came into the group, we were going through that book, and that whole book, you know, talks about, you know, being a godly man. What is that? What's that look like? You know,
right,
talks about the seven promises of a promise keeper, right?
Right.
You know, teach you how to be a godly man, godly husband. You know, what is a godly you know, father look like? I mean, just, yeah, you know, the whole thing.
So you're walking this thing out in a kind of a small men's group.
Yeah, absolutely.
How often did you guys meet?
I think we met like at least once a week.
Oh,
once
cool.
a week. Yeah, it was pretty often, which I needed it.
Right.
Because, you know, coming as fresh out of the world, you had a lot of baggage, you know.
Unlike, really?
Unlike you. I know. I think you were perfect.
Yeah, right. More like Chris.
Yeah,
Chris.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, we know what he did with his Bible. So, I mean, we just can't even. That's not it.
Yeah, we can't go there.
Yeah, right. You know, that last segment really made me think about those days, you know, because that was me that you were describing. I was offended continually.
Right.
You know, which really comes from a lot of baggage of, you know, really what that is you're hurt.
Yeah.
And you've never been healed.
Yeah.
You know, so you walk around and constantly offended all the time. You think everybody's out to get you.
Mm.
You know, they mean to do you harm continually. So everything offends you, right?
Right. So you're trying to protect yourself as if you could actually do that.
Right, exactly. And so anyway, you know, through these guys, I mean, I prayed out loud for the first time. I mean, which was just terrifying. Because it's like, I don't even talk to people, much less pray. What are you doing? So it was awesome. But, you know, first time I ever memorized a scripture. And that's what really brought me to this. The very first scripture I memorized, and I still know it to this day, was Romans 12:1-2, which just totally took me back, you know.
Wow.
And it's, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy,
mm-hmm.
to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship.
Wow.
Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will.
Mm.
And I've carried that with me ever since. And
wow.
When that scripture so penetrated my heart, it's like, man, I really want to know what God's will is for my life. What am I supposed to be doing? I mean, obviously mm-hmm. God saved me for a reason. My whole paradigm just changed. I mean, I'm just like, this whole new world just opened up to me. Mm-hmm. You know, what is it you want me to do?
Wow.
Well, before I had to find out what he wanted me to do, there's some things that he had to work out of me first to make room for that.
Oh, really?
Hence, that's why he had me in that group. So the whole thing was just all happening at once. You know, he was just carving on me, working these things out of me.
Yeah.
And that offense had to go.
Mm.
That was one of the things. You know, by no means am I saying I don't get offended anymore, but I'm not like I used to, believe me.
Right. Well, you grow. You know, we're all growing. And if you stop growing, I mean, no one's sinless until, my goodness, I mean, no one's sinless at all.
Until
you
know, the Jesus, end. Yeah. Until Jesus comes back. So... You know, and it was just a great growing, learning experience for me that, you know, you think about Jesus, you know, he had his 12,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then he had his 3, which is a more intimate group.
Mm.
And then Jesus had his 1.
Right.
You know, and I never forget those times, you know, with those one-on-one times when really you get to the heart, the deep things.
Yeah.
All right. All that other stuff is cool, but you got to deal with this. This is, you know, it's time for that to go.
That's the real deal.
That's
I think how much is missing in the church at large is these intimate relationships
mm-hmm.
that you can develop over a series of times. You know, the nature of those relationships, and like anyone, an analogy that was used during that time was that it's mm-hmm. like rounding the bases, you know, mm-hmm. first basis. You know, I don't know you, we're acquaintances. I just know that you love God, I love God, and we're kind of hanging out together.
Mm-hmm.
And then after you start, you know, coming and sharing and being a part,
mm-hmm.
all of a sudden it's like, okay, you know, I can consider you my friend, you know,
yeah.
I consider you my friend in God, and
absolutely.
You know, and we can start talking, and
mm-hmm.
and with each stage comes a certain level of, you know, I guess intimacy, responsibility, and trying to get to third base, you know, which is like brothers, you know,
yeah.
and now we can hold each other accountable, and I can tell you some things, mm-hmm. you know, and you can tell me some things, and we can hold each other accountable.
Absolutely. That was good because you knew the next week, you know, if there were some things that you guys talked about holding each other accountable in, you mm-hmm. know, they're going to ask you, so how's that whatever problem going on? You know what
right.
I'm saying?
Chris,
have you killed anybody recently?
right.
You know.
With your words.
Right, exactly, yes. And which And then that's part of that renewing your mind. You know, you got to get rid of that stinking thinking, like you said earlier. And that only comes through the Word of God. You know,
yeah.
That's, you got to stay in the Word, which abiding daily. It's going to require that. It's your sustenance. It's your life. It's manna. You know.
You're renewing yourself. I mean, you're spending time with God and you're reading your Word.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremiah says that God's Word is like a hammer. And what happens is that, you know, throughout life, we've developed these strongholds. And all the stronghold is like it's a pattern of thinking. It's a mindset, any mindset that's not based on the Word of God. So it's like, why do you do that? Or why do you respond that way? Or why do you, well, we've always done it this way. And then, you know, you're amazed by how much your culture, your environment, your family has so much to do with the way someone thinks. Mm-hmm. Well, if your family, your environment, your culture has never been grounded on God, rest assured, there's some stinking thinking going on in your mind.
Absolutely.
And just because it makes sense to you and to your family, maybe, or to your environment, right, doesn't necessarily mean that it makes sense to God and the way God wants you to live.
Absolutely.
So what you're saying is so important. I mean, you spend time with God's Word, that Word begins to start, you know, to chip away and break at some of those wrong patterns of thinking. It says that got to go, and just kind of chisel that thing way out so that God's Word can just start, you know, washing over you. And before you know it, you become transformed.
Absolutely. You know, that's what he did and is doing still to this day.
Sure.
And, you know, because I so wanted to be used by God, you know, because I just, you know, especially where we came from, with God was moving so powerfully back in those days, and still is, but it was just manifested in such an awesome way. And you just like, man, you just see yourself just doing these awesome things for God because you're so in love with Him. You know,
sure.
But
and look, you're doing them today.
Exactly.
Look what you're doing today.
Exactly. Of course, I never had this in mind. It was never like, how you imagined it. It's like, oh, that's what you meant. Okay.
Yeah, did any of us?
Yeah,
right. Right.
Oh, it is. It is. You know, and then I remember the beginning days, you know, we used to do the father and son camping trips every year. And it was like, wow, that was a huge stretch of, you know, character building and learning how to talk to people, you know, and manage people. And, you know, and just cause you get all different types of personalities that you're going to have to, you know, you just can't be rough with, you know what I'm saying? You can't act like you used to act. It's totally, totally different ballgame.
And that's important because what you're saying is it's character building. What you're saying, I mean, it's like, oh, someone could be listening, talking, right? What are you talking about? Well, no, it's not just management. It's not just, you know, delegating. It's being able to recognize that you're talking to the body of Christ, that you're, that whatever you've done to the least of these brothers of mine, Jesus, that you've done to me.
Mm-hmm.
So you're coming under a place, and we all have and still are, where we want to be careful in what we're saying. We want to make sure that we're honoring of other people and that we're speaking to other people the way that we would want to speak to Jesus Christ, because that's what we're doing. We're not flippantly, we're evaluating. Proverbs says a wise man gives thought to his ways. How did I come across, and how did I say that? Or did that come, was that, because that hurtful in any kind of way? And being willing to be humble, to apologize and say, you know what, I said something that was inappropriate and it sounded right. Would you forgive me?
Mm-hmm.
Because you care about the body. You care about Jesus.
Right.
And that's awesome, because you're dealing with so many people under stressful.
Right.
You know.
And that spirit of offense, it just can't be there. I mean, you just cannot. It's just, you can't. It's got to go.
Working with people,
and they will work your last nerve too. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. But, you know, praise God, nobody died. You know what I'm saying?
It's important. It's important because what you're saying is that you went through a process where you honored Jesus.
Absolutely.
And more of us need to do that. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? We got to come to the place that you're just not talking to anybody. You shouldn't talk to anyone that way. That when you do anything for any person, you've got to recognize, I'm talking to Jesus Christ. Whatever you've done to the least of these brothers of mine, you've done to me. You've done or haven't done.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And it does matter. Mm-hmm. It does matter. I know that maybe you've been treated that way or you've thought it was normal. Mm-hmm. We've seen some stuff thinking, really? Is that normal? No, it does matter. Yeah, you got to slow down to the pace of love, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So, and there was one experience I wanted to share as well. You know, we remember the big stadium events with Promise Keepers.
Yeah, yeah.
And how powerful they were. I remember the very first one I went to. This was probably back in 96.
Oh, wow.
It was what city? In New Orleans Superdome.
Yeah, I was there.
Yeah.
Well, I wasn't with you at the time, but I was there.
Right, amazing. Right. Yeah, oh my goodness.
Event, and we didn't even know each other at that. Yeah. You were there and I was there, and I didn't even know you.
Yeah, exactly. I had no
That's
idea.
Amazing.
But that was, I believe, the beginning of what God was doing in my heart, because I think this last, what, 2-3 days? How long did it take?
Yeah.
A couple days?
Yeah.
And I remember the very first night we got there, and I walk in this building, and I see nothing but men. It was like a sea of men.
Yeah.
Singing, worshiping, praising God, you know, lifted up hands. And I mean, you could just feel the presence of God just rushing through you.
Yeah.
It was powerful.
It was, wasn't it?
And without anybody saying anything, doing anything, all of a sudden, I just felt this overwhelming sensation in my heart.
Wow.
You know, and this was back in a time, you got to realize, you know, I had a 5-year-old son, you know, and at that time, I didn't realize the significance of what, how important it is a father is in a son's life, because, you know, you grow up in a situation where you didn't have your father around all the time.
Right.
You just never saw the significance of it. It was just, oh, that was that guy that, you know, whatever.
Right.
And so I was repeating the same behaviors, you know, just not thinking it was important enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wasn't spending that much enough time with him. And God just supernaturally just reached inside my chest. I mean, I remember to this day, and he just on a dime turned me. And all I could think about was, oh my gosh, he needs me. He needs me. Like he needs air to breathe. I mean, that's how significant it was. Like, I need Father God in my life.
Right.
This boy that I brought to this world needs me in his life.
Wow.
And it's just totally, you know, because I was, at that time, I was just very selfish. All I cared about was me and, you know, and just.
Well, think about this too.
Think about, yeah.
Society. Mm-hmm. I mean, look at society today. Society today has said that you're not important. Mm-hmm. Society has told you that you don't matter. The fathers don't matter. They're not important. They can't contribute. Mm-hmm. You know, they can only support a child financially, but they obviously can't contribute anything into their emotion, into their, to their spiritual life, into their development. Or he can, you know, show them about sports, mm-hmm. but that's what society's at today. So it's, you know, it's not strange if you didn't know God to, you know, to come under that and think, well, I guess, you know, I'll talk to him when he becomes a teenager. Think about it.
Right, right.
You know?
So, yeah, I mean, it was a very powerful time in my life, and I'll never forget it. Awesome.
Wow.
Awesome.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing, man. I mean, that's so awesome what happens when you give yourself like that to God and just say, you know, I'm going to become a living sacrifice. I'm going to allow you to, I'm going to work with you as you're transforming
me. I'm going to take you at your word.
I'm going to take you as you're at your word. Mm-hmm. That's pretty, pretty powerful, man. Wow.
Blue Angel, hot tubs, pools, and spas. Contact Joyce today if you're looking to make that addition to the home. They have a wide selection of hot tubs, and the price is right. They even ship nationwide. Give them a call today. On the Gulf Coast, contact Steve Barnhill's Paint and Body Shop with over 25 years of experience. No job is too big and no job is too small. Get in contact with them today. In New Jersey, Yolanda's Cocina Cubana. Excellent Cuban food. Mm-mm, delicioso. Go in and get some for you and for me today. Cordova Lanes in Pensacola. Not just your ordinary bowling alley, it's your community center. That is perfect for family gatherings, school field trips, church socials, networking opportunities, and so much more. Come visit and strike with us today. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
Thank you.